Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, educational HR radio. Today, our guest is Phil Strazula. He is the founder of Select Software Reviews. We're going to be talking about how technology is revolutionizing HR. And Phil, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, David.
There is nothing going on in technology. Why are you on the show today? I mean, there's nothing going on out there.
That's right. There's no venture capital money. There's no, you know, explosion of innovation. It's really just same old stuff from 1996.
It's, you know,
we're using the same stuff.
Same stuff. I mean, I think we have our abacus in the back. We're still working what we're, you know, consistently in that process. Now, technology has become more and more, of course, a big part of HR. And obviously the biggest things we hear about, and we're going to talk about some details as the show progresses, is tools that HR uses day to day, week to week. What are you seeing as a trends? What are the trends right now in the HR space that HR professionals, business leaders, and C-suite professionals should know about?
Sure. So I think it's interesting to look at COVID because it was such a catalyst for change across many aspects of our lives, whether, you know, it's e-commerce or remote work or whatever. And the sort of the evolution that we saw during COVID was first, you know, everybody stopped doing everything, right, in March 2020. And then within a week, actually, video interviewing, virtual hiring, all these technologies that enables us to kind of keep doing the stuff we need to do, even though we can't see each other in person, exploded. So the interest in video interview software went up 529% in 1 week in April of 2020. And then I think a lot of companies started to realize that people being at home, they had a lot of mental health issues, they weren't feeling a part of the organization. And so you've seen this explosion in mental health technologies like Modern Health or Spring or Lyra or Ginger. All of these companies actually have become unicorns. So they're all worth over $1 billion in the last 18 months. And it's because there was kind of this trend towards caring more and more about employee mental health that was catalyzed through COVID-19. And then we kind of saw at the end of 2020, a huge interest in artificial intelligence and technologies that would enable humans to just kind of do more with less. And the reason that I answer your question by looking at history a little bit is that I think a lot of these trends were happening already. We were already seeing an increase in remote work. We were seeing distributed teams, remote first teams that relied on virtual interviews. We were seeing more focus on employee mental health. We were seeing more focus on artificial intelligence. And then the last thing that we were seeing a focus on that really exploded during COVID as well is a focus on diversity, equity, and inclusion, especially in the wake of George Floyd. And so those are the trends that continue to drive the innovation in the HR technology space. And it's becoming more and more a place where there's venture capital money, there's entrepreneurs, and there's really amazing practitioners who are adopting this and transforming their companies.
Is there any risk from a organizational standpoint in being too early to these trends?
There's a huge risk. So with video interviews and artificial intelligence a couple of years ago, there was sort of a scandal where some of these AI tools were basically looking at video and saying, hey, this person would be a good salesperson. This person would be a good XYZ. And they found out that there's actually a lot of bias in those algorithms. And so some of the racial and gender biases that basically the creators of these algorithms had showed up in how they were understanding candidates. And so if you were using one of those technologies, you ran the risk of opening yourselves up to a lawsuit or whatever, because you just weren't having a great hiring practice that was fair and equal. And so I think there is always a risk. There's certainly a risk in not realizing or forgetting that at the end of the day, we're all humans and we're interacting with humans throughout the hiring process, throughout the sort of employee life cycle, and being too systematized and too tech heavy can kind of damage that as well. And it can make people feel like you don't really care about them when you're trying to hire them or when you onboard them or when they're an employee. And so there's always a risk in this stuff. And that's why I think that practitioners need to start to come up the learning curve as quickly as they can on HR technology so that they can understand how to think about the risk in a more thoughtful way so that they don't miss out on things that are adopted.
You know, it's interesting. It's kind of like the adoption of, you know, phone automation, right? Everybody thought it was great until nobody actually talks to anybody and it takes you 15 minutes to find a human as you go through technology and push all the buttons and wait.
Right.
Your call is very important to me. Please stand by, right? and all that. It kind of has that feel. And I know that HR, especially human resources in general, wants that personal touch. So from that perspective, as you're looking at AI, as you're looking at some of these technologies that are coming forward, do you think it's going to evolve into the fact it'll be still a personal touch, or is there going to be this divide between how people feel about it versus how people actually use it?
I think that the best teams are always going to understand that it needs to have a personal touch. And I think some companies will go overboard, of course, and they have some sort of systems engineer who's thinking about this stuff in a spreadsheet and isn't thinking about the human element of it. And I'm sure that's already happening with HR chatbots or automated sourcing technologies. But I think that there is a fine line that you can walk and you can leverage the power of these technologies that can literally make one of your recruiters 10 times more efficient while still realizing that there's a person on the other end and have empathy for that person. So an example of that might be we're hiring for our team right now, and we do use an AI assessment. And what we do is we have a human being look at resumes and chop it down to the top 10 or 15% of applicants. So it's really only people that we're actually interested in. We say, hey, there's a shot that we might be able to hire this person. And we tell them in the email, transparently, here's the process. We want to go beyond your resume because you're much more than this one sheet of paper and really understand who you are. We're asking you to take this assessment because we think that there's a decent shot that we would want to hire you. And this is the best process that we have to do this. We've made it so that it's time efficient. We apologize for taking up 25 minutes more of your time, but this is just like the interview process that we want to run. And we'd be delighted if you would take this assessment, and hopefully it's interesting and you can learn something throughout it. And I think and that's an automated message, right? But by understanding and having empathy for that person, like we don't want to send, if we get 100 resumes, we don't want to ask 100 people to take the assessment because we know most of those people we don't care about. We don't want to waste their time. And that person that we do ask for it, we want to have empathy that they need to know they've got a shot at this job, where they are in the interview process. And we've designed the test itself to be more interesting than just a bunch of questions that are a pain in the neck.
You know, Phil, and again, we're talking with Phil Strazula. He's the founder of Select Software Reviews, and we're talking about how technology is revolutionizing HR. Of course, you're listening to the HR Power Hour, and which is, of course, educational HR radio. You know, we've been talking a little bit here about the trends, Phil, and I think you're right. It's still going to be about people at the end of the day when it boils down to HR. It's not going away, right? And at the end of the day, we still need people. And so far, the bots haven't taken over completely from that end of it. But from that standpoint, I find that C-suite HR professionals then look at it and say, okay, there's a cost that goes behind this. There's an amount of money we have to pay. There's either a monthly fee, a yearly fee, a buying of the technology, whatever it is that's on there. And CFOs, rightfully so, look carefully at the bottom line. Can somebody really see a return on investment, or I like to call it a return on people, ROP, right? Can people really see that investment pay out in the long run? And how long does it take to really get that investment to pay out?
I think that this is one of the most important aspects of HR recruiting in general, and especially HR technology, because to your point, there's a cost, there's a fee. There's also a cost of headspace, of time to implement. We only have so many hours in the day. We can only focus on a few big initiatives each year. And so we need to make it as impactful as possible. There's a reason that all of these tools exist and that they're adopted and renewed. And it's because there is a value there. And so it certainly depends on what sort of tool you're using and where the value will show up. But I always tell people when they're thinking about buying a new piece of technology, think about a cold-hearted CFO that you need to convince that this is worth the money. And all they care about is the money. They don't care about how it makes people feel. They just care about, does this impact our P&L? And almost without fail, across the HR technology spectrum, you'll be able to find ROI. For example, your website, because your career website is garbage and it doesn't have anything about your culture. It's not mobile optimized. It's really hard to apply, et cetera, right? And I think most people's intuition would be, we want to showcase what it's like to work at our company. We want people to understand our culture. We want to feel good about this. And it's a very human sort of ethos that brings you to the conclusion that we need to update our career website. And I think that's amazing. However, I would push somebody to think about it from a cold hard CFO perspective. They don't care about employee stories and culture and your DEI initiatives. They care about dollars and cents. And so how do you translate that? Well, you might think about the conversion rate of somebody that goes to your website, that somebody that becomes an applicant, as a key metric to track when you update your career website. So let's say you've got 1,000 people go to your career website, 10% of them apply right now to your crappy career website. So it's 100 applicants per month. And let's say that you're able to make it easier to apply. You make it mobile friendly. You add some videos that convince really great applicants that they need to apply to your job. And all of a sudden you have a 30% conversion rate. So instead of 100 applicants a month, you have 300 applicants per month. So you have an incremental 200 applicants per month. And maybe your hire rate is 5%. So that's an incremental 10 hires per month. And maybe your cost per hire is $5K, right? So that's $50,000 that you've saved per month. So that's a pretty nice ROI. And you can go to your CFO and say, hey, it's going to cost us, you know, $10,000 or $15,000 to record some videos, update our website, which is going to make, you know, everybody feel really good, share the culture, all this like human stuff that especially folks in HR really care about. But it's also going to save us a bunch of money. So isn't that great too? And so doing that extra step is super, super important when you're talking about this stuff, because to your point, you need to have an ROI. Otherwise, it's not worth your time.
Yeah. I mean, you need that balance, right, between ROI and results. I mean, at the end of the day, that's really what C-suite's looking for and HR wants is results. And whether you're recruiting or whether you're doing HRIS systems to track things, or whether you're doing payroll or whether you're doing benefits, and you go down the list of all the different technology needs that, you know, HR professionals or businesses go through. You know, one of the other parts as we get ready to wrap up this section and head to the next one is, does it matter size of organization? Is there a scope factor here? Because, you know, a lot of businesses, what is it, 80% in America are under 50 employees.
Yeah, they're majority of companies out there are certainly small. There's only 500 Fortune 500 companies. I think that your HR tech stack changes and evolves as you change industries as well as size. So when you're a super small company, you've got to pay people. Like at the very minimum, you've got to have payroll, right? And I would consider that part of your HR tech stack. And there are a lot of payroll vendors out there, and some of them are good and some of them aren't so good. And so that's sort of phase one. As you start to grow, you might use some job boards like Zip or Indeed, but you might also start thinking about having a database of applicants, an applicant tracking system. You might start to have an HRIS. And all of a sudden, as you get to 50, 100 employees, it's like, okay, let's have performance management. Let's have recognition. Let's have better benefits. Let's have rewards, et cetera. And so as you get bigger and bigger, you're going to continue to add and evolve your tech stack. And of course, the tools themselves will also change.
And we'll talk about that a little bit more in the next section. You're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com and Verald, newstalk-law.com, and you're listening to News Talk 100.5 FM, and we will be right back. In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employer relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
Let me ask you a question. How do you feel about genetically modified ingredients?
Don't like them.
Artificial flavors and colors?
No thanks.
Clean ingredients.
Now that I like.
When you care about what's in things and what's not, shouldn't your vitamins be clean too? Sundown Vitamins are all clean all the time. Non-GMO, free of gluten and dairy, with colors and flavors from real food. We even have USDA certified Sundown Organics and kids vitamins too. When you're living clean, choose clean with Sundown Vitamins at supermarkets, drugstores, or on Amazon.
If a natural disaster comes knocking, how prepared is your family? You can't just close the door on earthquakes, floods, or hurricanes and hope they go away. That's why it's important to make a plan now. Ready.gov/plan has the tools and tips you need to prepare your family for an emergency. So if disaster shows up at your doorstep, you'll be ready. Visit ready.gov/plan and make a plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
At over 150 years old, Verrill has an illustrious history with more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill as one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact Verrill at verrill-law.com. That's verrill-law.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by cmacareer.com and verrill-law.com. Remember, HR Power Hour is at hrpowerhour.com. You can download the show each and every week. You can also, of course, go to Spotify, iTunes, Pandora, iHeartRadio, and more in your favorite podcast channel. Please like us, share us, and listen and learn. We appreciate it. I'm your host, Stephen Chulo. Again, you're listening to the HR Power Hour Educational HR Radio. We are talking with Phil Strazula. He is the founder of Select Software Reviews. We're talking about how technology is revolutionizing HR. You know, Phil, I didn't start to ask you in the first segment, but I think I'll ask you now. What got you into this? Why'd you start Select Software Reviews?
That's a really good question.
Thanks. That's my job, to ask good questions, Phil.
Sometimes I ask myself, So I started my career off working in venture capital, doing early stage software investing at this company called Bessemer Venture Partners that's invested in companies like LinkedIn, Pinterest, Shopify, Skype, a bunch of others, and loved it. Really awesome exposure to the innovation economy. But I sort of had this burning desire to start my own business. And so I went to business school. I taught myself how to program. And I just sort of started working on different projects, one of which became an employer branding software solution. So I was always interested in people's career paths. There was this thing called Glassdoor happening at the time that companies kind of wanted to fight back against a little bit. And so we created this platform that allowed people to collect employee stories and inject into your career site, social, et cetera. And I ran that company for a number of years. And then about 3 years ago, I hired somebody to become the general manager of that business. And so I had a lot of free time. I wanted to start another company. I love to learn. I love to teach. And I saw that a lot of HR teams were really struggling with what tools to buy. And I saw an influx of venture capital, of entrepreneurs. And I said, you know, this problem is only going to get worse over time. There are so many applicant tracking systems. There are so many HRISs. There are so many artificial intelligence sourcing tools. How is anybody going to navigate this? And so I said, I'm going to be the guy. So I started this website, and I basically just started doing tons of research and creating videos, writing blogs, et cetera. And all of a sudden, we've become, I think, the number one website in the world for people to research HR technology. There's over 60,000 companies every single month that go to our website, Maybe they check out our form and ask questions. Maybe they just read about what ATS they should buy. We also have this job board for companies that love HR. So it's like all these like amazing human resource jobs, chief people officers, head of people analytics, stuff like that. And so I just sort of like jumped into it. And now, you know, I'm immersed. This is my life.
Well, you know, it is a real need. Certainly, there is no question. HR is inundated with a number of companies that are trying to get their business. And the tech side of it is, for many, not all, but for many, a little bit difficult to navigate in terms of understanding that. These professionals are typically very strong and very good in the human connection, but they're also looking for something to, as we are talking about it, supplement it, right? And help them in the processes that move forward. And I don't know how many HR professionals I talk to that just even rub their head and shake and say, oh my God, you know, I just wish the technology would do this. I don't know if this one we're going to get is really any good. It's that question that keeps popping up. And I don't care if you're a 100-person employer or 1,000-person employer, or you have 5 employees. It's always the same question. What's the best payroll? What's the best benefits? How can I track things? How can I make sure I get the best talent? These are always the standard question, the basic, the fundamentals, right? You can get into, as you talked, all that other stuff. But the reality is we like to get the fundamentals first. So when somebody goes and they want to, you know, think about the best technology, they want to think about, you know, how to buy it. What are some tips on internal buying that to get people to make that happen? What some tips do you have for us?
Sure. And I would just say that I completely agree with you that 95% of HR practitioners that I talk to, this is such a headache. And I would say that I wouldn't feel bad about that because every HR person is extremely overworked and under-resourced. Most times, unfortunately, organizations, they treat HR like a cost center. And so this, even though this is like an important part of your job, you just don't have the time to dedicate to it. And I'm a guy that spends all of my time just researching HR tech. And I still sometimes am like, wow, this is a really confusing ecosystem. It's hard to navigate. So if you're in that bucket, I would not feel bad. And I would actually just realize, hey, you're normal and you're in a good spot. So to kind of get to your question around, you know, getting the internal buy-in, there's one tip that I've found that is really, really impactful. And I think it's important to get this early, internal buy-in early, because I've seen so many practitioners that email me and they say, hey, Phil, you know, we did all this research, we want to get this ATS, but my boss says we can't find the money. I think before you even do all that research and spend all your time, what you should do is say, hey, everybody in the organization, the HR team is really passionate about solving X problem. And it could be cultural, it could be DEI, it could be performance management, it could be talent acquisition, whatever it is, you have some big initiative that you want to solve the technology. And I would throw it out there and say, hey, we're going to create a little committee. If you want to be on it, I'd love to have your opinion. And people throughout the organization will raise their hand and say, hey, you know, I'm passionate about employer branding. I'm passionate about DEI. I'm passionate about our culture here, recognizing employees, whatever it is that you're working on. And you can get this kind of cross-functional committee of 4 or 5 people together. And by the way, these people are going to be sort of the gunners in their organization. They're raising their hand for extra work. They have a lot of juice. Everybody kind of recognizes them as somebody who's an up-and-comer. You've got this committee, maybe you meet once a month for a couple of months. You get some diversity of thought because somebody from marketing, product, sales, engineering, they're all going to weigh in on what you're trying to accomplish. They're going to help you vet your ideas. And then when you get to the finish line and you say, hey, CFO, we need 10K for a new performance management system, you're going to have 5 really strong allies that say, I was there from day one. And yeah, this is a problem in our organization. That's why I spent time on it. Here's the thought process we went through and blah, blah, blah. And so you're going to have almost a guaranteed chance of getting that capital at the end of the day, and it's not going to kill your vision and what you're trying to accomplish. So this cross-functional buying committee, as I like to call it, is a really potent tool in getting that internal buy-in.
It always starts from the top in the standpoint of you have to get C-suite buy-in to start with this, right? I mean, the reality is that if the initiative is not in the cards for the year or so forth, and you're trying to change their position, then certainly you need to start at the top as to why, I would think. And then certainly I agree with you 100%, go out and get the committee and bring them all in, because if you get buy-in, you'll have support. 100% agree with you. How do you convince the CEO who, you know, CFO is one thing. It's all about the money. And the reality is a lot of HR, fortunately or unfortunately, depending on their opinion, is still under the CFO a lot today. Though COVID has certainly changed a lot of that. We certainly see a lot of HR professionals move out from under finance right directly into the CEO because of the COVID situation. But the reality is that how do you get the CEO on board? Because there's the salesman in chief. They're the ones that are going to talk about it.
Yeah. So one other tactic that I really love to do is what I call the HR roadshow. So the roadshow is something that companies do when they take a company public. So if you're going to take a company public before you start trading on the NASDAQ, you go around all these investors and you're like, hey, here's why we're the next best, you know, amazing company. Here's why we're the next Tesla or Apple or whatever, right? And you kind of convince all these people, and maybe only 15 or 20% of them put an order in, but you've got enough to kind of support your stock when it starts trading. I think that for big initiatives, especially ones that are going to have multiple kind of sub-initiatives, you need to do the same exact thing from an HR perspective. So if recruiting is like the thing in your company right now, you need to put together a presentation that, and not to plug the website, but we've got a template deck on there if you want to just download it and copy it. But it's basically like, here's the state of the world. Here's the problem that we're facing. Here's what we need to do about the problem. And here are the results that we think we're going to get. And results are KPIs, there's stuff that hits the P&L, it's human elements, et cetera. And I would sit down with each member of the C-suite, especially the CEO, obviously, probably do them last, and go through the presentation and get their feedback and make them feel a part of this discussion, get their buy-in, so that when you go forth and conquer, you have allies. And why this matters, one quick story to exemplify it. A friend of mine leads TA at about a 3,000 employee company. They were doing a big PR push that says they're going to hire 1,000 people in a given city over the next 5 years. When you do that, there's going to be a lot of people that hit your website and they want to potentially work for your company. And they needed a microsite live in 24 hours that was like, you know, in Charlotte, we're going to hire 1,000 people. Sign up here if you're interested. And a lot of these people didn't have resumes because they were coming from a PR announcement, right? They're not job seekers. They're future job seekers. They essentially needed to create a talent community for Charlotte talent in 24 hours. And the director of marketing that controls the website said, you know, go pound sand. Like it's not going to happen. Like that's crazy. And so the CTO, who was bought into this employer branding initiative through this roadshow that we had done previously, we just emailed him and he was like, done. Like I've got an engineer on it right now. Send the specs over. It'll be ready in a couple of hours. And so having those allies, it's important for getting the budget, for buying the tools, but it's also important for these super ad hoc situations where you need that firepower to get stuff done. And lo and behold, I think we got like 7,000 people the next day that signed up for this talent community, many of which were hired in the future. And so think of all the recruiters we didn't have to hire. Think about all the job board spend we didn't have to do. Just think about all the time that we didn't have to spend because we had this one page on the website. And the only reason we got it is because 3 months prior, we did the roadshow, we got the CTO buy-in.
That's amazing. It's a great story because it articulates very well what exactly can happen if you have the right technology in place to make it work. I guess one of the things that sometimes HR does is they're very used to doing what they always have done. And they say to themselves, I want to do something different, but maybe I don't know what I don't know. And I think that's a fair statement, right? And a lot of reason why we go to conferences, why we grow, why we learn. You know, I've been to a lot of conferences. There's not a lot that I have seen generally about HR tech. There are some, Don't get me wrong. And there are some nationwide, but there doesn't seem to be a lot about it. Can you provide some ideas or resources, including your site, which is, of course, Select Software Reviews with an S.com? Where can people learn about tech in the HR world from a macro perspective?
It's really challenging. I'll be honest with you. I think that the majority of, you know, your local SHRM chapters, your various networking groups, a lot of these regional conferences, they don't do a very good job. And the people that get on stage many times to talk about it, they're fairly weak case studies. You know, it's like, oh, it took us 3 years to do a new ATS. Nobody wants to go through that. That's not an aspirational sort of initiative. I think there are a couple of practitioners, and they're mainly at sort of these like Decacorn type companies like Stripe or Facebook or whatever, that have kind of figured out how to do this really effectively. And sometimes they'll get on podcasts, but, and there are conferences like HR Tech every year in Vegas. There's a couple of HR Technology World that happens in Europe. There are a few things out there, but like, to be quite honest with you, that's one of the reasons why we started this business, is there's just like not a lot of great thought leadership out there around even like something simple, like how to buy your first ATS, or, you know, how do I implement an AI sourcing tool, or what, how much should I pay for any of these solutions? How do I negotiate effectively? Because that's a big part of it. And so I'm super biased on this, because I'm kind of like, there's nothing out there, and that's why we're doing the work that we do. But I do think that there's very scant ways of learning from others out there.
I think that enhances the reason why we're talking today, right? Because there really is a minimal number of resources currently. Where you're going to get some unbiased opinions. And that probably is the biggest challenge. There are plenty of companies putting on roadshows and things out there that you can go and go on and watch their technology, but it's hard to compare it to the others. You do get a biased opinion about their show, right? In terms of what they're doing and so forth. And I love the idea that you take the time to review different ones and keep up with that and go through the process of make sure you get the best software that you need to do for that area. We're obviously going to take a break in a second. We're going to come back. And I think when we come back, we're going to certainly talk about how to test new tools effectively, kind of look at that from an area perspective. I think we'll also probably talk a little bit about the pitfalls, because I think people need to know the downside to some of these things and the risk above the general risk, but the things they have to look for from the pit side. So we'll do that when we return. You're listening to the HR Power Hour, a news talk, WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis, as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
Don't you love that feeling when you've just nailed your look? When someone you barely even know comes up to you and says, "Oh, I love that outfit. Where did you get it?" That's how it feels to use Stitch Fix. They're a personal styling service. Tell them what you love, and they send great clothes for you to try on at home. Stitch Fix is simple. Sign up in just a few minutes. Tell them about the brands you love and the looks that make you feel great. Stitch Fix is convenient. Get everything delivered right to you, so you can try on new styles in the comfort of your own home. Stitch Fix is on your terms and priced to fit your budget. There's no subscription required, ever. Keep what you want and send back anything you don't. So, isn't it time you started nailing your look? Get started today at stitchfix.com. Stitch Fix, personal styling for women, men, and kids. Stitch Fix, personal styling for everybody.
Take it to Moody's. Take it to Moody's Collision Center.
If your car is wrecked,
and you don't know where to go.
Take it to Moody's.
You want to get on with your life, get on with the show.
Take it to Moody's.
Good people you can trust,
and it won't be a fuss. Take it to Moody's. Collision Centers.
M-O-O-D-Y. Your kid was talking on the cell phone, drove right through your own home, sitting in the parking lot, maybe you get hit a lot, driving through the green light, suddenly your side swipe, put it in reverse, but it turned out that it was first.
Take it to Moody's. Take it to Moody's. Collision Centers.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employer relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAKorea.com and Vero-Law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo. You're listening to the HR Power Hour, Educational HR Radio. Today, our guest is Bill Strazula. He is the founder of Select Software Reviews. That's Select Software Reviews with an S.com. And let me tell you, we're talking about some great stuff when it comes to technology and how it's revolutionizing HR. Phil, you know, we've talked a lot about the essential tools in terms of, you know, what HR is looking for, the trends and so forth. We talked about how to get internal buy-in. We've talked about the ROI and the ROP, the value to the organization. You know, I guess one of the next questions is, let's get a little bit into the nitty-gritty. And you can talk a little bit certainly about how the site does this as well. But how do you test new tools effectively? How do you select, test, and make that decision? Because I think that is sometimes pulling the trigger, the hardest thing.
It's really challenging. And I think that one of the best things that people can do is carve out an hour a week to do a demo with a solution that is somewhat interesting to you, because the more reps that you have on this stuff, the more comfortable you'll get, the more you'll figure out what questions to ask, and the better you'll be at vetting software. When we do it, we have a rubric. And so we write down the things that we care about for a given solution, and we kind of make sure that we hit those throughout the call. And that's what I recommend people do as well. So, and this doesn't have to be anything super comprehensive, but if you're looking for a new solution, write down, what are the features I really care about? What are the ones that would be nice to have? And kind of, what do I want to get out of this tool? What are the core workflows that I want to see on the demo? And make sure that you hit that stuff, that you keep good notes, because it's hard to remember in the future what actually happened. And then what I also like to do is, and this is just because I'm a finance nerd that started my career off working in venture capital, is I like to actually ask the company a couple of finance questions. And your average sales rep isn't going to know the answer to these questions, but I like to ask, especially if it's a venture-backed company, you know, what's your growth rate like? Are you guys profitable? There's this thing in software called the rule of 40, which is if you add the growth rate plus the profitability of the company, it should be more than 40%. And that sort of means that that's a best in class company. So company growing at 100%, but losing 60% a year on average in terms of their bottom line would be a 40%. And that would be a fast growing example. And a slow growing example might be a company that's growing at 10% a year, but has a 30% net margin. Both of those are quote unquote good businesses. And the reason usually that they're good businesses is because they have a really good product. They know how to sell it. They know how to onboard people. They know how to make them successful. And that's what's allowing them to get the growth and the profitability that shows up in those numbers. I also ask for things like retention. Why do people churn, et cetera? And sometimes I'll do customer reference calls. I think that the best way to think about these customer reference calls is the same as you would do for an employee. And so if you have like a really like amazing set of questions that get at, what was the last time this vendor let you down? What did they do? Do you recommend this vendor? Because if you don't, why don't you? You know, who, oh, you recommend it? Well, who's the last person you recommended it to? I always like to ask these sort of deeper follow-up questions. And we have this whole blog about buying HR tech like a toddler. A toddler will drive somebody crazy by asking you why? And sometimes you have to ask these sort of detailed questions because you'll get a lot of lines like, hey, we're the number one place to hire people. Oh, okay. What does that mean? Well, it means we're really good. Okay. Well, how are you so good? Where does it show up in the numbers? These are the sorts of skills and questions that you pick up by doing a couple of these demos. And if you do one of these a week, and I know it's an hour of time a week that you don't have, but if you carve it out, even just do a half an hour demo, in 3 months, you're going to have done over a dozen of these things. And you're going to be 100 times better than you were previously. You're going to be a lot more comfortable and you're going to know how to navigate these situations. I also encourage people to think about the incentives of the salesperson on the other end of the phone. How do they get compensated? Is it through, and you can ask these questions, by the way, don't feel shy about asking kind of, you know, awkward questions, but I like to understand, is it based on recurring revenue? Is it based on the contract value of the deal? Because if it's based on recurring revenue and there's a setup fee, that means that that person doesn't care about the setup fee. I care about it because it's cash out of my pocket. But if this rep doesn't care about it, I can definitely negotiate that setup fee away. So there's all these little tips and tricks that you kind of figure out over time, but it's an overtime thing. It's a skill set that you have to develop. You have to become good at understanding how do we MVP something? How do we get to the bottom line of do we want to use this or not? And there's only one way to do it, which is by doing it.
We're talking with Phil Strazula. He is the founder of Select Software Reviews. I'm your host, David Chulo. And of course, you're listening to the HR Power Hour, HR Educational Radio. And remember, we are on Spotify, iTunes, Pandora, and iHeartRadio, and more. You know, Phil, we've talked a lot about the pluses having to do with technology. We talked a little bit about the risk. What's the biggest pitfalls?
There are many. I think that if you buy the wrong vendor, many times you're going to be married to this person for a couple of years, right? You're signing multi-year contracts or you're buying a solution that is hard to rip and replace. There's data migration issues, there's compliance issues, there's just, you know, the time it takes to go out and try to buy another one of these things and go through that process again. There's the internal reputational damage from doing it the wrong way. And so there's a tremendous amount of downside. And I think that's why a lot of people just don't do anything and they sort of stay with the C-minus solution that they already have. I think some of the other big pitfalls are going with a vendor simply because you have a pre-existing relationship. The sort of canonical example here is we've got a payroll vendor, they've got an HRIS, they've got an ATS, they've got a performance management system. Let's just go with those guys. Usually those are not the best solutions. And so you want to do your homework and you want to actually get the right one because it's going to make your life a lot easier, even if it is harder in the short term. And then I think the kind of last big thing that we've chatted about a pretty good amount here is that you need to get the internal buy-in. You need to make sure that you've got the budget, that you've got the juice to implement this thing, make it successful. You've got the right framework to think about what does success look like from a KPI perspective. And you've written it down so that 6 months in the future, you can go back and look at it and say, where were we right? Where were we wrong? And get better and get smarter about this stuff. But without that internal buy-in, I've seen so many companies, so many HR teams that spend a ton of time doing the research, picking the right vendor, and they can't get it over the line because they don't have their boss to give them the money. And that is just really frustrating. So make sure that you get that buy-in up front. Make sure you are crystal clear on it so that you can actually consummate and buy this thing.
You know, you talk about exit strategies, and you know, you always have to be thinking, what if it goes askew? You know, what is there? Are there tips in regards to contracts and exit clauses that maybe aren't in there that you should think about?
Yeah. So almost no vendor is going to give you an exit clause out of the gate. However, if you are a really good buyer and you move quickly, you have a lot of leverage because the average sales cycle for one of these technologies is really, really long because so many people are unsure of what to buy. So if you go in, you've done your research, you've got the internal buying, you've done everything right, you can negotiate things like, after the first two quarters, if this isn't working, we want to get out of this thing. Here's the SLAs that we want. Here's what success looks like, so that you're not beholden to a 1 or 2 or 3 year contract. That would be my advice. And it starts when you first pick up the phone. It starts before you even pick up the phone, when the SDR emails you and says, hey, can I learn a little bit more about your company? And you know that that's a discovery email, and you know how to answer that in a way that's sophisticated. And when you get on the phone with the rep, you know how to ask the right questions. So they say, wow, this person really knows what they're doing. You move fast, and that gives you a ton of leverage to do the stuff you need to do to de-risk.
Well, you know what, Phil? This is probably very good information, especially for all HR professionals and C-suite that really look at any contracts and any technologies, right? Because it's not just on the HR side. It's technologies that IT deals with all across the board. There's plenty of technologies out there. So I really appreciate that. Again, you're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis, as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
Hi, I'm Susan McVetty.
And I'm Pete McVetty from McVetty's Hearth and Home.
Is there a sale going on at the store right now?
No.
No Hearthstone, Quadrifier, Mendota, Wittes, Blaze King, or Morso sale?
No.
No Yodel, Vermont Castings, or Regency? Oh, there's always a Regency sale.
No.
You're telling me that out of the gazillions of wood, gas, and pellet stoves that we carry, there's not a single sale going on?
Nope.
Oh, what about patio furniture, awnings, grills, smokers, and aluminum docks?
No, just because there isn't a big sale going on doesn't mean that we're not having great deals and still doing free estimates for anyone needing a heating appliance.
Oh, well, good. Just let me know when we're having another sale.
Okay, there's always a bargain to be had if you are looking for one, and we don't need a new heating appliance.
Well, maybe my sister needs one, or my friend, or your sister.
Stop by McVetty's Hearth and Home at 893 Route 1 in Yarmouth, or check out our website at stovesofmaine.com for the latest information, including our sales.
Really? I have to check out the website? Really? And I can't believe Regency isn't having a sale.
Being a father is an honor, a challenge, a duty, a celebration, and a testimony. I want to be legendary for you because I found everything to live for.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
In a recent survey, investors shared what they felt were the greatest threats to their retirement. It's no surprise the most common threats include stock market volatility, economic uncertainty, conflict in the Middle East. Unfortunately, there are many threats beyond your control that can affect your retirement savings. At Goldco, a leader in precious metals, the team believes one way to protect your investment portfolio is with physical gold and silver. Goldco will send you a free 1 ounce silver American Eagle coin, and all you have to do is pay for shipping and handling. No obligation, 100% free. Call 855-971-2006 to get your free silver American Eagle coin.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employee relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. We appreciate all our sponsors that, of course, support the HR Power Hour and your HR education. Of course, you go to HRPowerHour.com, check them out, link on them, connect with them, and use them. We appreciate that. Today, of course, we're talking with Phil Strazula. He is the founder of Select Software Reviews. Phil, you've given a lot of great tips and tricks, as I would say, and given us some trend information about technology. But let's wrap it up by saying, what are best-in-class companies doing right now in the HR space when it comes to technologies?
Sure. So we talked a little bit about earlier, kind of what does this look like for big companies, little companies, et cetera. And I think that sort of the baseline, if you think about Maslow's hierarchy of needs, your baseline stuff, bottom pyramid, HRIS, ATS. And then if you look at companies that are really kind of super advanced, like you mentioned Stripe or Facebook earlier, they have point solutions that are adept at performance management. So they're not just doing annual reviews, they're doing OKRs, they're doing weekly one-on-ones, they're tying these objectives together for a group, for a region, an individual can see how they're contributing to the rest of the company, they can see what the CEO is working on, stuff like that. Recognition companies are going all in on peer-to-peer recognition, creating almost like a social media type experience, and that can live in Slack and Teams or email. It can live on text message, or it can live in one of these native experiences. People analytics, something we haven't talked about too much today, but a lot of companies are using the dashboards that are inherent in the tools that they use, as well as building their own. Some of the super advanced companies are hiring PhDs to aggregate data across lots of different systems and try to understand, you know, why are some salespeople successful? Who are they emailing with? Why are some women breaking through the glass ceiling? All these different kind of pertinent questions that we want to know to be better operators can be unlocked with data. And I think in general, they're sort of looking at their HR tech stack as a unified part of their overall strategy. It's not just a tool that they have to use. It's not just a tool that does one thing. They have clear objectives as a people function that are supported through technology, and they understand how each of these tools will make their people better, smarter, more efficient. And then they're tracking those KPIs to understand, were they right? Or, you know, is the AI sourcing tool actually making recruiters more efficient? Is it creating a good experience for candidates? They're being really, really smart when thinking in a systems way.
You know, I got to tell you, you did a great job. And I got to tell you, your site is awesome. Select Software Reviews. That's with an S, selectsoftwarereviews.com. Your guide to the best HR and recruiting software out there. It's a great site. There's a lot to see on there. I think that HR professionals and any C-suite would enjoy looking at it and really understanding it. You've done a nice job of it. And I really appreciate you being on the show today.
Thanks for having me. It's an interesting conversation. I know it's challenging sometimes for folks to think about HR technology, but I promise you, if you start down the path today of just getting a little bit better, you'll be very glad you did.
No, there's no question about it. Make your life, help Phil help you, right? Help Phil help
That's
you.
Right.
That's what it is. All right. You're listening to the HR Power Hour. And thank you very much, Phil. Have yourself a great day.
You too. Thanks.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM or 1310 a.m. and streaming live at WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.